Again, we are in Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. And the messages that we've been challenged from responding to the cross has been the message that we have been looking, the messages that we've been looking at. And this is actually part three. We kind of condensed the first three into two. So we're going to look at some more people that reacted and got involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first person we're going to look at is Pilate, this man Pilate. And if you think about, well, in fact, we'll go to the scripture first of all. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 through 24. Let's take a look there. Matthew 27, verse 11 through 24. And I'm just going to read through those verses. And it says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor, who went to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, the Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto him, What shall I do then with Christ, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. The first person we'll look at today is Pilate. They bring Jesus before Pilate, already accused and in a sense convicted by the chief priests. They bring him before the local governor, Pilate, and they come before him, and Pilate is looking at the situation. And my challenge here about Pilate, you can be like Pilate. Now, the statement I say is you could be honest. Was Pilate honest? Was he truly honest? As we read this, I think you can see some honesty in him. You can see that when he's looking at the situation, you can tell that he's judging in his reasoning skills that there is no reason that Jesus should die here. There is no reason that he should have been convicted and they should take his life from him. The story is really intriguing. We read about his wife coming in and saying, Oh, I've had these dreams. Please don't do anything to Jesus. And then we read the rest as he's trying to decide what to do. He says, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll take another prisoner. I'll take another convicted person. And we will put those up and I'll let the people decide. So this will take everything off of me. So you could be honest like Pilate. I think like he might be honest. Second thing I say is you could listen to your wife. Now, I'm not joking here. I think God gave wisdom Pilate's wife here. And so she gives him advice. In a sense, you wonder if God was working. And you know, in the grand scheme of things, we know Jesus had to go to the cross. But Satan is wanting to get him there as quickly as possible. And with all that he can, he wants to get him to the cross. But then you have this voice of Pilate's wife. So Pilate could have listened to his wife. You could be a coward. Because that's Pilate. He was a coward. He wouldn't take a stand for what's right. He wouldn't take a stand for what is just. And here in this passage, Pilate admits that just if this is going to be justly decided, if it's going to be justly decided, then he needs to let Jesus go. Falsely accused, his life taken from him, and it shouldn't have happened. And it did happen in God's great scheme of things for our redemption. But in reading about this, this is what we see. I've been, at my current class that I've been taking, some of you guys know I'm working on a master's in government and history. And as the class I'm taking right now is the Supreme Court. And it's interesting to look at the national Supreme Court judging the states and the national laws. One court will say, they'll take Plessy versus Ferguson, separate is equal. And then Brown versus Board of Education said, separate is inherently unequal. Two courts ruling on some of the same exact issues, but with totally different results. Pilate had a choice to make, and he didn't make the right choice. He was a coward. You could be a coward. You do right instead of succumb to political pressure. That's what God wants us to do. Not to succumb to peers that would pull us away from righteousness, from walking the path with God. Next, number two, Barabbas is the next person we like to take a look at today. Barabbas, verses 16 through 28. Now, I already read most of those verses. Let me finish out the passage in verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released the Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. So this is Barabbas. You could have admitted that you were the real criminal. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. If he was a criminal, he's not going to stand up. But he could have. Barabbas could have stood up and said, hey, wait a minute. This isn't right. Now, as a believer, in a sense, it's almost like salvation in a sense for us, isn't it? When we admit we're a sinner. Like, we put ourselves in the place of Barabbas. But you didn't see Barabbas say, wait a minute, this is not right. And you know, on the other hand, maybe he did. Maybe he was like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be happening. This man is a just man. But as we apply this to our own lives today, we need to admit our sin, our sinful condition, in order to be saved. We've got to realize that we are hopeless without God, without the work of Christ that happened in this week that we look at, Holy Week, the work of Christ. He goes to the cross. He sheds his blood for our sins. And Barabbas is like a representation of all of us. In a sense, he's like all of mankind. And what do the people say? We choose Barabbas to be released. We choose Barabbas to be released. So, you could have admitted that you were a criminal. You could realize that you were blessed because Jesus took your place. And maybe that was Barabbas's idea. There's some really interesting stories. Those old films I used to do. I don't know. Ben-Hur is our favorite. And we watch it between services. So we turned it on. We didn't quite finish it because we had some things to take care of. But it's 3 hours and 42 minutes. But it's a great picture of Rome and the Jewish cultures interacting with Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing story. And at the end, their lives are transformed by the life of Jesus, by the redemption of Christ. And it's fantastic. Yesterday, we watched a movie called, what was it called? Arise, I think. And then there's some other ones. And I know there used to be a movie, an older movie called Barabbas, telling the story of Barabbas. And I believe at Bob Jones, they had a movie, Wine of Mourning, wasn't it? It was about Barabbas. So there's a lot of lore about this person. And different things happen in those stories. And just think, though, if you know in your life, as you go about your life, you meet with people and they tell you about Jesus. Go, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know who Jesus was. Yeah, he's the one that I was chosen to go free, and he went to the cross. And they might say, you mean Jesus? Jesus is that person? They might look at Barabbas and go, You mean Jesus the Holy One? Jesus the one who died for all mankind? Is Jesus the one? You're the one, Barabbas? Can you imagine living that life? Wow. You could realize that you're blessed. You could realize that your story could be the story of all believers. And that's that Wine of Mourning story that they did, the movie they made of a few years ago. That's what it was about. This man comes to Jesus. He comes to a knowledge of Christ. And it's an amazing thing how God works in this person's life and the interaction that he takes place. And they say, wow, you're that Barabbas guy. Or they let you go and Jesus went to the cross. So we can all kind of put ourselves in that place. And then another person, we don't have a lot of verses about him. In verse 32 it says, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. I'd love to meet this guy, Cyrene. Simon the Cyrene, I should say. We could be like Simon of Cyrene, couldn't we? He's the guy who's just like, hey, here's the cross of Jesus. Will you take it? He's just standing on the sidelines. We don't really know anything about him. We don't know that he was a believer. We don't know that he was a follower of Jesus at that time. We just know he was standing on the sidelines and they say, hey, take the cross of Christ. Can you imagine? My challenge for you is to pick up your cross and follow Christ like Simon. A couple things. You could recognize the cross of Jesus. Simon may not have known when he picked up that cross. Now, someone probably told him afterwards, hey, you know, you took the cross of Christ. I have a feeling that he responded, but we don't really know. You could take up your cross and follow Christ. That's my challenge to us as believers. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. You say, what does that mean? Well, on the surface, you think, well, what do you mean, take up my cross? Should I be like one of those guys on TV that picks up his cross and travels across? Well, a few years ago, there was a guy, I believe, he actually put a cross on his back and he crossed the United States. Wow. And I think, I don't know if he's still alive today, but he goes around and he gives testimony of that. And he says, look, man, I am so small. God is great. Christ did so much for me. I just want people to know that I love Christ, and that's what he did. So, wow, more power to somebody who does that. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. For a lot of people, that could mean get on his path, follow his way. Might mean for many, get into his word. Find the answers to those questions you have. Reach out. Do some study of the word of God. You know, there's so many amazing resources and there's so many. Yeah, the Bible is a fantastic book. And as the critics have gone about to discredit it, there is an amazing answer for all those things. Study it. Find those answers. They are there. There's nothing to be ashamed about with the Word of God. Maybe that's your cross. Pick up your cross. Study God's Word. Find the answers. You might be sitting back and you go, I don't know about God. You might be sitting back today. You might be like Cyrene. He didn't really know. And then someone hands him the cross. I want to hand you your cross today. Unbeliever, you're having some issues. Go find those answers. They're there. And for the believer, pick up your cross. Follow the path of Jesus. That guy, Simon of Cyrene, interesting guy. And you just wonder what happened to him. We don't know for sure what happened to him. Or he could be like the arrogant thief. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, and let's take a look at a few verses there. These last two people. You know who we're going to look at last. But 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The arrogant thief. You know, that's That's a lot of people's reaction. People don't understand our God. God is a spirit. He works in our lives. He does amazing things in our lives as we study His Word. He shows us. He shows us the right path. He challenges us. And His Spirit is with us if we know Him as our Savior. Some of us have been transformed. There's people with these amazing stories of how their life was transformed from horrible situations. Not all of us are like that. It's not my story. But I know God works in my life. I know He does. And here's this guy on the cross. And we look at his response and go, yeah, I get that. Especially if you're an unbeliever and you read this story, you go, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing. I'm not like, wow, this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord. This is God. He's on the cross. He's dying. You could be bitter about your situation. Now, this malefactor, his life wasn't great. And that's the reaction that he has to it. You could be bitter. Number two, you could miss your last chance to believe. I don't know what that is, brothers and sisters in Christ. The unbeliever. I don't know the last chance. When the last chance is for you. People talk about an unpardonable sin. I don't really like to even discuss that concept. I believe God's arms are wide open for those who believe. Those who believe that come to Jesus. And those He has chosen as well. Those He knows are going to come to Him. God's sovereignty and His power in that area is fantastic, but I don't know it. I don't totally understand it. But come to Jesus. Believe on Christ. That's what the story of Christ is all about. You could miss your last chance. This is the guy's last chance. We all know that. But what about the humble thief that stands on the other side? What did he... You could realize your need and come to Christ. Realize your need. He's a sinner. He's up there and maybe he heard about Jesus and some sort of prior knowledge and what Christ has done. And he is like, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Remember me in your kingdom. You could accept by grace through faith in Christ alone and no other outward show. This guy couldn't do any good works, could he? Too late for good works. He had to rely on the grace of Jesus Christ. Just as we do, we rely on the grace of Christ in our life. That puts Christianity above every other religion in the world. And it's all stamped, and I'm not going to get into this, is my message, but Jesus' last words, it is finished. The penalty has been paid, and it's stamped, tetelestai. The Greek word, it is finished. The penalty, it's been paid. Christ has done it all. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected. He lives. He lives. And I love that. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is risen, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. That's an interesting phrase there. That's for those who know Christ and have an intimate relationship. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's my challenge for all of us today. Those of you who haven't come to that point, you know, like you're just not there. The belief is not there. I ask you to take the step of belief. Take the step of Jesus. Come to him. Those who, you know that, you know Christ. You understand his grace. It's not about your good works, but you've met Jesus. You know the grace of Christ. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved. I challenge all of us to pick up our cross and follow Christ. Follow him. Go his way. Follow Christ. That's my challenge for you today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love to us. We're thankful for the glory of the resurrection, the wonderful power that it gives us. Today we talked about the power at 6, the power of the resurrection, the power it gives to the believer. What is that power about? It's that I have heaven. I have Christ in my life. I can overcome anything. Like the Bible says, we are overcomers through Him that is in us. We have that power. And Lord, help us to have that power. Maybe there's someone here who says, man, Pastor Craig, I don't really have that power. That I'm weak. I don't have that faith in Jesus. I ask you to come to Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Those of us who we just need to be challenged to pick up our cross and follow you. May we do that, Lord, this day. This amazing resurrection day like no other in the history of modern world. This day that all of us are here, we're at home, in our hearts, in the quietness of our hearts. May we be challenged. May we be dedicated to follow you no matter what. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.